Hello and welcome back to Let's Grow Girls, your favourite, I hope, gardening podcast.
How could it not be everyone's favourite? This week's guest is writer, flower grower and designer, sustainability advocate and seed merchant extraordinaire, Millie Proust. Millie has recently launched two new books called Seeds, Grow Your Own, Cut Flowers from Scratch and Floristry, 14 Seasonal Projects to Enjoy in Your Home. Follow on from the success of her first book, From Seed to Bloom. She also has some super exciting news that she's going to talk to us about later on in the episode. Welcome to the show, Millie.
Hi. Thanks so much
Welcome.
For having me.
Nicole, that is so cruel. What kind of spoiler is that?
I know. I don't know that it's such a spoiler because Millie has already released the news, but it is still super exciting. So we will come onto that shortly.
It's so exciting. And I wish that this had been the moment.
It almost was.
It almost was, but life in the flower world moves fast, right? And actually, we've had loads of requests to have you on the podcast. We've been really excited to get you on and have a flowery chat with you. And then when we met you a couple of weeks ago, when we were lucky enough to go to Glyndebourne together, I had to seize my moment. When they sat me next to you at lunch, I was like, this is my moment.
No way. I wish I'd known. I would have come on any time earlier, but I'm excited that this is the first time because there's so many good things to talk about.
Yeah.
There we go. But mostly I like the image of Nicole with bread and other goodies at lunch being like, so.
It was great. I mean, we were having
I think we bonded over cheese, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, it was the butter.
Uh-oh, because the butter. Yeah, we did have a good butter conversation.
So good.
Everything was good. That was a great day. If anyone fancies a great lunch and the opera, Glyndebourne is your place, right?
Yeah.
But on to flowery stuff. Moving on from the butter. The good stuff.
Yes.
Lots of our listeners are obviously familiar with you. We've had tons of requests, but I'm sure there are some out there who aren't. So we thought we'd start about getting a bit of information about you and kind of like how you came into this crazy flower-filled life.
I love this crazy flower-filled life so much. It has been a journey. So I reckon I've been in the industry for really like 8 years now. But it was about 10 years ago, I was still in London, and I remember seeing what Florette was doing for the first time, and I couldn't believe that it was, having grown up in London and it never being part of the curriculum to grow anything, I couldn't really believe that someone could grow such beautiful things. And I was going to the flower market and I was interning at a flower shop, but I'd just finished at drama school, and so that I was on a very different path. And I was doing lots of radio and a few plays and a bit of TV. I had always in my scripts pictures of the outside. And then I saw what Florette was doing and I thought, oh my goodness, that's what I want to do. But I'm going to have to park that because I live in the middle of London. I have no growing experience apart from like a few things I did with my grandmother, and I had like a few pots that I carted around from flatshare to flatshare and never had a huge amount of success with. And I thought I didn't have much of a green thumb. Mm-hmm. But it stuck with me. Within 2 years I'd moved out of the city and I was giving stuff a go in the garden and loved it so much. I was creating arrangements and I started Windowsill Wednesday that summer, and which was just a thing I do every Wednesday and I still do to this day, 8 years later, is create designs with whatever seasonal ingredients I've grown. I do that every week. I was supposed to do one today. I didn't. But that's because it's very, very busy at the moment.
You have had I think when we get to it, you've got a good enough excuse.
Yeah, thanks. and then by that autumn, one of my friends asked me to flower her wedding, and I did, and I was still working in London, so I was commuting back, and the following year I did a couple of sisters of friends and a couple more friends' weddings, and the year after that I was doing people I didn't know. And then I went freelance and stopped going into London so much, and so I could focus a bit more on the growing, because I was really doing it in the evenings and weekends, just double downing on like long hours.
Yeah.
And loving it. Like, I got completely obsessed and just read and watched as much as I could. And then Florette gave me a runner-up scholarship for the workshop, and that was a game changer for me, because I really didn't have a huge amount of money to invest in workshops, like more learning or like courses, because I just graduated and had huge student debt and I just couldn't make it work. And so that was a huge game changer for me, and that changed my growing, that changed the way I run my business. And then obviously COVID hit and everything changed again. And it's so nice having a small business, and one that I get to just be really dynamic with and shift and change whatever comes along. That's been a real interesting thing to ride. But it's been a real journey, and it's had its ups and downs, and it feels like it's taken a lot of energy and a lot of time, but 8 years actually is really nothing, is it?
In the scheme of things.
Yeah. If things go fast, I think, once you get started, you kind of tumble into it, don't you, and it gathers momentum. But so you grew up in London then, so you really weren't, I mean, I know there's lots of green spaces in London. We are lucky to have a capital city with a lot of green areas, but it's not really like flowery, is it? You know, apart from the odd like concrete flower thing next to the bus station, it's not very inspiring, is it? Is that what do you think like more inspired you to get into it? Was there some, apart from the florette realization, was there anything like else in your kind of past that made you think you had an affiliation to flowers? Or
definitely, my grandmother was a great gardener. She loved her garden, and she was still tending to her roses when she was early 90s. She was really passionate about teaching us about the natural world and the plants in it, and what we could eat, and what was toxic, and what the wildflowers were and their names. And my dad got into gardening around the same time as I did, which was really helpful because I had to help someone to chat. And he had a container garden in London. And when I was growing up, I really didn't have access to like green spaces in a big way. And my grandmother lived outside of the city, and I used to go and stay with her. She moved to the city when she, like, 16 years ago. But before that, I could go into her garden outside of the city, and I spent a lot of my childhood there on, like, holidays and weekends. I felt really inspired by that. And then my parents were pretty good at sort of taking me to open spaces and seeing, like, enjoying nature and being immersed in nature. So I think that was helpful. I think it's actually innate within us all. I don't want to speak for the whole of humankind, but...
We're drawn to
But for our subsection, it's innate.
I really think it is within us all. Like, we had to learn how to... Like, historically, humans had to learn how to tend the land in order to survive. It's only recently that we've not needed to. And so all of our ancestors would have been growers at some point. I think it's innate. I think it's something that, I think green-fingered is a myth. I think it's about hitting a passion, hitting an obsession with plants that helps keep plants alive. Otherwise, I really don't believe in it.
What I think is, like, in this day and age, people want things so instantly that, like, I feel like it's a skill that people have to relearn, because you have to learn the patience and the kind of, it's a different skill, isn't it? You know, these days everything's so instant. Walk into a shop, get what you want. You ever walk into a shop, pick up your phone, and 20 minutes later there's, you know, a grocery order from, you know, take your pick of the shops, really. And I think the skill of, like you say, tending the land, whether it's for flowers or food, it's just something that people just don't do. And I think people think they're not green fingered, and I actually think what it is they have the patience.
Yeah, all the time. I think we're really time stuffed.
Possibly that too, yeah.
As in the way that, yeah, in the way that life is run and society is run. And I definitely felt like I was really having to shoehorn it into the like deep corners of my life. And I think I only managed that because I'd moved somewhere where I didn't know anyone, and I was really, really lonely, if I'm really honest. And
I'm not laughing at that, but I'm laughing like at how these flowers just became a thing.
Hilarious.
There was nobody else. They were your friends.
Oh my God, so sad. So sad.
We start the episodes with hello flower friends, and then sometimes when I'm on my Instagram, like and I'm in the garden recording stuff, I'll be like, you know, my story's like, hello flower friend. And I remember in lockdown, and I was doing something in the garden, and I was like, hello flower friends. And then I just heard this and it was my neighbour over the other side of the fence, and he thought I was talking to my flowers.
Oh, if you had been my neighbour, I'd be like, oh, that's lovely.
It was just so funny the way he coughed, like, as if to say there was somebody on the other side of this fence.
So please stop talking.
Don't be so weird and awkward.
No, so I love that story about your grandmother, because I have the same thing. My granny, Audrey, is a huge gardener, and she actually listens to this show.
Hi, Audrey.
So hi, Audrey. And I grew up going to her garden. She has about a quarter of an acre in the Midlands. But in terms of your growing space outside of London, this new place that you found, how big is it?
So I rent an acre from a local farmer. And then I grow in what we call HQ, which is just my house. And that is We grow on just under an acre here. But it's not it's not hugely productive in the way like a flower farm would be set out, but we do crop a lot of stems from here. So I have really, I'd say, about a 16th of an acre of beds that we crop intensively. And then we have a huge stash of tens of thousands of spring bulbs buried under my boyfriend's apple tree. We have fritillarias and irises and all sorts of treasures tucked away in there, camassias that we can constantly cut from. So it starts with snowdrops, then lycodiums, iris reticulata, muscari, and these are all in rough grass, and it goes through the narcissus and then the camassias, and then comes, I'm trying to picture it, then comes the honey garlic, the Sicilian honey garlic, honey garlic, which is so nice. And then we have, after that, we have the Siberian iris, and then we have loads of roses, and all of that is cut from, and all of that is just in rough grass. And then we have the fruiting trees, so we still have a few branches here and there of crab apples and quinces, and we use all of that in our designs, and lichen clad branches in our winter stuff. So we use the rough area all through the year, and that is, I feel like if anyone is going to grow a garden but doesn't have a huge amount of time, it's such a beautiful way to have a productive space. We just mow paths through it, and then we mow it once a year, and that's basically all the upkeep we do. And there's loads of habitat for all sorts of creatures, and it's also so beautiful. So we love that bit. Yeah. And then I have some permanent borders, and we cut a bit from them, but not a huge amount.
I'm sure if you spot something that's just screaming to be cut, it's not going to stay there for long.
Yeah. Get snipped immediately for a bridal bouquet usually.
So what are the conditions of your garden like? So obviously you said it's quite, like you say, the garden you've got doesn't sound really like a flower farm. It sounds like more of a beautiful space that you just happen to cut from. But are you dealing with good soil, or have you got any challenges there? Is it quite a, I mean, you're lucky being on the south coast of England. You've probably got quite, you know, inclement weather, not too cold probably. Are you far from the sea? Have you got the sea air there?
We do a bit. We're about half an hour drive, 25 minutes. So we do get a bit of a hard frost fairly early, but not in the same way. Like, it is fairly temperate down here. We're on heavy clay. We're really an interesting bit of the landscape where there's loads of different types, soil types around here, but we have proper clay. So I add quite a fair bit of compost. We have what I call a compost palace here, which is just
a palace,
actually nicked a design nicked from Charles Downing. It's we make a lot of our own compost, but we also buy in green organic waste, and we do no dig method here to try and help the soil structure. And over the years, it's become really good. So what we grow on productively, we just grow into the beautiful soil, that we've added to. But the rest of the garden, like all the bulbs are in clay, which, you know, has its challenges. I really tried so hard to grow bearded iris, and they just don't love it here. But I should try harder because I love them so much. The roses grow so well here because
they like
the clay holds the nutrients so well. And they're quite hungry roses. So I find that the clay can hold on to the nutrients really well. And we mulch fairly heavily under the roses, and we underplant them. So we underplant them with all sorts of things, but salvia is really good for black spot, and we underplant with things like nepeta, which I find really good for black spot as well. We have loads of bulbs. Basically, the soil's never really on show, which means that the moisture holds quite well. And so even in the heat waves that we've had the last couple of summers, it hasn't caused any issues with the roses. The roses just look spectacular, which is so, so nice because they're my favourite.
you Rose is your middle name as well, isn't it?
It's actually Ruja, which is Polish for rose, but it means rose.
I told you before the episode, I'd done my research, and Sarah called me baby reindeer, so apologies if I sounded super creepy.
I would say that was a bit, I would say that was a bit baby reindeer. You're like,
I was actually going to say, your middle name is a Polish word for rose, isn't it? And then I thought, that sounds even creepier.
It doesn't, I like it. Okay, but this is, I actually have a few middle names. This is actually slightly embarrassing. My mum could not decide and made my little brother.
I can relate to that.
Can you?
I have problems choosing. I would also probably choose a few.
Yeah.
What are the other ones?
Okay. It makes me sound ridiculous, but it's just because my mum is actually just like she's a primary school art teacher. She's slightly batty. Like,
are we going like royal style, six middle names?
It's a lot. I'd like to just like precursor this, but I've got nothing to do with witty. I'm not that posh. I just have a lot of ridiculous names.
Oh, you have to tell us now.
Hit us.
Okay.
Oh, she's taking a cough. Get ready.
It's because there's a lot. You have to take a deep breath as well. Okay, my full name is Millicent Loveday Ruja Penelope Proust.
Wow, she really couldn't choose.
She could
Loveday?
Not. She really was like, I'm going to put all my options.
Where did Loveday that come from? Unusual. Or is that for another episode?
That was my mum's cousin who was a goat farmer in Wales.
I'm sorry.
Wait, so you're telling me there was a goat farmer in Wales called Loveday?
Yeah, and she, when her husband died, she let the goats live in the house with her.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, I can so relate to that. Why is that?
I never met her, but I have her name.
In the heartstring.
I love it. I love it. What about Penelope? Who's Penelope? Pit Stop?
That was another family name, and I think it was a great great aunt on my mum's side, so not my dad's side, which is the Ruja.
So all kind of family names.
All family names, yeah.
There we go. I feel very inadequate because I don't even have one real name. I can steal one of yours. I'm gonna take Loveday.
Can we give you one?
Loveday is a cute one, I think. I gave it to my son. My son's middle name is Loveday.
Oh, I just love it.
I feel like we could all be more Loveday. Like, I also would probably let the goats sleep in my house if I was alone.
I'm here for it.
I feel like, you know, it does mean that I just want to, like, I feel like you do want to live up to your names, don't you? Millicent means hard working, and I've always felt like I've had to work really hard.
Hard-working,
too much pressure.
Goat-loving, flower-loving Penelope. We have to find out what flowers Penelope
like.
In some cultures, Sarah means princess, and I think that's accurate.
That's lovely.
Sometimes I can be a princess. That's fine.
You are funny. Wait till you hear some of the later episodes. You obviously have been, you know, given the honourable job of being first episode out this season. But in a episode that we've already recorded that will be coming up after this one, Sarah tried to convince the world's number one dahlia hybridizer to name a dahlia after us. Yes.
Stunning. I love that.
I am a princess.
I love that.
Oh, I need to, I won't name them because that's a spoiler, but I need to email that guest and say it needs to be Princess Sarah.
Well, no, she tried to get it between the two of us.
That's not such a good dahlia name.
So good.
No, I will have my own.
It became like, oh, I'll name it after both of you. And I could just see Sarah's face glaring at me like, how dare you take my title?
How dare you? I deserve to stand alone. But if we stay on names, but we skip back slightly to a small tangent, I feel like I thought it was pronounced Nepita.
No, it's Nepita.
How did you?
Did I say Nepita?
Have I?
But honestly, I couldn't tell you if that's right or not.
I thought it was Nepita. Here we are doing it again. Like, you said it, and I was like, oh, I've been saying it wrong this whole time.
Hey, but Sarah, it's like, do you know the one that gets me the most? Like, please help me. Please help me. Is it Clematis or Clematis? That is the one that gives me nightmares.
I listened to an entire podcast episode from a specialised grower of that plant, and the pronunciation was a huge point of that episode, and I cannot remember which way. Because in my head, if you've argued about the pronunciation of something and you've given me both options, it's fair game.
Yeah.
Because then my brain remembers both. And then I double guess myself. I say, did he say it wasn't that, or did he say it was that?
I reckon I've heard, like, my parents used to say Clematis, but I've heard the fancy, yeah.
But then I heard Monty say it the other way, and I was like...
I think this professional grower called it Clematis, because I remember thinking, interesting, I thought it was Clematis.
Yeah.
So I think it's Clematis.
I think in the general public, we call it Clematis.
Clematis.
And I feel like the fancy people, the clever clematis growers, call it clematis. What? Clematis.
How did
you do that for everyone? I find clematis so hard, but I also read Harry Potter, and in my head she was called Hermione, so I'm really bad.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I don't know why, but I was a big reader as a kid as well, and I used to like just take my mum's books. I probably read far more things than I should have. Like, Danielle Steele was a big thing for 16-year-old me. And she obviously used language that you didn't use in, like, real world life. I always said in my head how this one word was written until I was at work, like, my first, you know, corporate job, and I heard somebody say it in real life, and I was like, how... And I wrote it as I heard them say it. So they said, albeit. So I wrote that as three words instead of what I thought was albite.
So good.
And my boss was like, no. Wow. It's like one word. I was like, oh. Funny, isn't it? When you're a big reader, how you hear them in your head. But I like that. What do you call it? Hermione.
I like that word, though. Yeah. Hermione.
Yeah,
quite a literal person. I have that in our family. My mother might kill me for this, but she doesn't say office. And this isn't necessarily about spelling. She says orifice.
No.
Yeah. So sometimes I accidentally almost, and then I'm like, no, that's an ism of my mother. I'm not going to repeat.
That's I've so got a good. Scottish husband, and there's lots of things said really the wrong way one. In my house. Not that he would say it was the wrong way.
And it's interesting also the way that things are said differently in America to here as well.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, like, I still can't get over Dahlia. Mm-hmm. Dahlia.
Dahlia's
how different, like, you wouldn't think you would pronounce that any differently. So let's, we've gone on a hell of a tangent there on the names.
Mm-hmm. It's a wild time. Mm. Yeah. To rein it back in, she reads her notes politely in the corner. So, moved out to the country, you were growing kind of wedding flowers. Talk to us about where your business went from there.
So, once I had the weddings going, COVID hit. My grandmother, who was the great gardener, came to live with us from London. My little sister too. We just have a two-bedroom cottage, we all sort of squished in. And it was so nice living generationally. I thought my business was going to go under because I'd invested all this money into the ground, and this was like the first year that I'd really stopped at taking freelance work, and anyway that all dried up with COVID, and I just thought this is gonna sink, or it's gonna swim. My grandmother really was the one who gave me the best advice. I was crying in the kitchen because I am a hopeless crier. I'm trying really hard not to be anymore, but I was crying in the kitchen. I was cooking everyone dinner.
Like at the same time?
Yeah, crying into the onions. It's the onions.
I'm a crier. I get you. I feel you.
And I said, she was like, why are you so upset about it? And I said, look, my business that I've worked so hard for the last 3 years to get to this point, which I really thought I now don't have to go into an office. I can make a go of this. I think it's going to all fall apart. And I just felt really sad about it. And I feel like I failed. She basically grabbed my shoulders and said, you haven't. And by the way, people are going to need flowers now more than ever. Flowers are hope. And people feel hopeless right now. You need to get those flowers into the hands of people that need it most in this moment. Stop, like, pull yourself together. Stop crying. This is not about you.
And I was like, put your big girl pants on.
Yeah. And get out there and grow. And I was like, got it. And she was so sweet. She was 91 at the time, and she came out and she helped put all the beds, like, together. I'd been growing on a neighbour's plot, and we extended the plot here so that I could grow, which is why there's now, like, productive plots here at HQ. I just grew and grew and grew and sold every single stem that year in nationwide bouquets, which was a madness. I was pulling like 17-hour days, harvesting from like 4 a.m. And then I was also harvesting in the evening, letting things condition. I could not pick quick enough. And then I was dealing with all the shipping and all that stuff. And shipping flowers in the post is actually kind of tricky. And doing it solo was nuts. And like trying to find cardboard in a cardboard shortage and like pack them all beautifully and make these beautiful bouquets and like write out these heartfelt notes that people were writing to each other and get them out there. It was a wild, wild time, and I was doing it Monday to Friday. Saturdays was just like trying to spend time doing more of the growing, and it was so intense, and I'm so grateful for that experience at a really difficult time. Everyone's experiencing such a difficult time. I was so grateful to have an opportunity to be outside when so many people didn't have access to the outside. So I tried to share as much of the outside and the process of it all as much as possible. And I did that for the whole of 2020 and carried it on into 2021. And the wedding slowly came back. So I eventually stopped doing that. And yeah, then I moved into seeds as well in 2020 because it was such a hot year And a lot of the flowers were going over so quickly, so I was saving.
Oh, you're right. It was. And I remember it felt like some kind of funny joke. Like, stay in your house. But, like, here's insane sunshine like you've never seen before. And everyone was like, what?
It was a really, really hot year. And it was really interesting, an interesting time for the cut flower industry and gardening industry, because one, people were getting into gardening, so there was a seed shortage, but there was also a cut flower shortage, because they when they shut all the ports, they shut all the, you know, 80% of our flowers come from the Dutch markets, which are coming from much further afield, and we just couldn't, like, no one could get the flowers in, so no one had access to flowers, so all the local growers were really having suddenly, like, a very, very busy time, and a lot of spotlight on them when at a time where it wasn't really, like, hadn't had much spotlight on that bit of the industry before. So it was really interesting time and really busy. And then the heat and the seed shortage, and I was just giving it a go. And I know that we're talking a lot about Florette, but she was giving me some really good tips on, like, how to clean my seed, and it was really helpful. And I got those into packets and sold a bunch of those and had a great time doing that. I love stationery. I feel like seeds is just a really fun. Seeds also are, like, such a precious thing, and they're so symbolic of what I think. I like to think that they hold the present, the past, and the future all at once.
That's such a lovely way of putting it.
It's that, I think they're the most amazing thing, and they hold so much power because they hold the promise of future beauty and hope. They hold hope in a way that even more than a cut flower can. So I loved doing the seeds and was like, oh, I'm going to definitely do those again next year. And I did all the illustrations for the packets and just loved all of that. So 2020 was spent doing that, and then that really just moved forward, and I still do all those things now apart from sending flowers on the post.
And so your seeds, when you started doing them, they were all your own homegrown seeds?
Yeah, and not all of them, so about 80%. And then things like cosmos, interesting cosmos varieties, they don't come back, and snapdragons, they don't come back true. So I got a specialist seed breeder to help me out with those. And but there's so many seeds that do come true because they're self-pollinating. So there's loads that we can do. I encourage everyone to save their own seeds, because a plant that grows really well in your garden is already adapting genetically to your conditions. So save the seed from the best ones. And things like larkspur are self-pollinating, sweet peas. Amaranthus is pretty good at coming true, not crossing. There's loads of things that you can save from. And it's also interesting, we sell mixes from the garden of calendula and cosmos, and we can't promise what's going to be in them, but, you know, there's really interesting things that pop up, and we can say what kind of colour palette they're going to be. You know, it's really fun saving seed, and it's a great way to get really healthy plants in your garden.
I remember my first year gardening in my whole life, which is embarrassingly is 4 years ago in 2020, and I saved calendula seed and straw flower seed, and I felt like a mad scientist.
Isn't it so?
I was like, I have cracked the code of humanity. I am singularly going to save our species with these two flowers. But
I
you
tell
just
you what,
feel like
that yeah. It is that it is so wonderful, it's so empowering, and I really feel strongly about saving our own seeds, because I love the amazing varieties that we can get, but so many of the seeds that we have access to are actually owned by bred and owned by huge corporations. The independent seed breeder is few and far between, and it's really empowering to save your own seed and not rely on those sources.
And I will always remember, before becoming a gardener, reading this article about sexy seeds. And it was essentially this article about how lots of open pollinated varieties were kind of basically kind of illegal. They tried to force on sort of F1 varieties that had to be repurchased every year. Yeah. And so some seed companies essentially weren't technically allowed to sell open pollinated varieties. You had to donate to them instead. And as a gift, they would then send you their open pollinated varieties for a long time. So this whole article was like, if you want to send your mum sexy seeds, you should send them heritage open pollinated varieties. And it always sticks with me. Every time I sow heritage seeds, I'm like, I'm doing something sexy and kind of illegal.
I love it. But it's so interesting. It's more pertinent in the food seed sector, because the flower seed sector, you don't need to be a part of DEFRA. They get sick of me in Paris messaging all the time. They're like, you do not need someone coming and looking at your boring cut flower seeds. It's just a different thing. But food is very regulated, and they're there is a very specific list that you're that they have, and
like your wheats and all of that sort of stuff, isn't it? It's quite regulated, like what can be grown in what circumstances and for what purpose, right? It's quite specific. Mm-hmm. It's that's almost like,
yeah, and it's all about control, and it's,
yeah, they're like the mafia.
Not to be like completely conspiracy theory about it, but it's really interesting how much that controls what the world eats. So I think it's really amazing, especially for people like Vital Seeds in Wales. They do a lot of really amazing work of keeping amazing varieties alive and going of food, and it's a really interesting kind of slightly political scene. And the flower seeds is less political because it's less regulated, but I still think it's really important to champion and support small-scale seed breeders because it's important work, and if they're not doing it, then no one is, and then these corporations own everything that we can grow. And I think it's important to have those empowered feelings, and also
have those sexy seeds.
Have those sexy seeds, my friends.
And also, yeah, just like, you keep your sexy seeds.
Yeah, remind people that they can go out into their garden, save their own seed, and just do that.
I don't know if we told you this, but this year for the for our Instagram and for our socials, we're going to be trying to have like maybe like some of your pictures or video or whatever, some of your content, and then overlaying it with snippets from the episode. And I just feel like that "have your sexy scenes, my friend" is the ultimate voiceover for one of your social posts. I love it.
I love it. I love it.
Ideal. And so, to take it away from sexy seeds, as much as I love that topic, and I actually think I might put that on a t-shirt, to take it back to that idea of like resilience, so you pivoted to kind of selling online, which is something you hadn't done before, and then you pivoted to sort of seeds. Were those like pivots immediately obvious to you? Like, were they something that seemed like the next step, or was it a real challenge for you to figure out what was next?
Such a good question. My initial instinct was, oh, it took a while to figure out, but no, it was actually incredibly obvious that each step I take brings something. And when I do it, it's quite obvious what works and what doesn't. I've got quite a fairly analytical brain. I love seeing what people respond to, and I feel like I have like a lot of empathy, so I love feeling out what people are feeling and what brings joy and the sharing. And also, I just could not keep up the stamina of harvesting and growing in the way that I was doing. And I really love writing, and I really wanted time to write from seed to bloom, which I loved. And then subsequently, I then had a baby. He's just under two still. No biggie. And I was really, really sick during pregnancy. I had hyperemesis, which just meant I was bedridden for 3 months, and then I was medicated, but it still was really sick all the way to the end. And then I had a really bad this is like maybe too much information for like flower chat, but a really bad birth and a really bad postpartum. I was really unwell for a long time. I was in hospital for a long time after the baby was born, and I realized that my business required me, which is maybe a really obvious thing, but if I couldn't run the farm, then my business would die. And that was really, really, I felt that right at the beginning of my pregnancy, and I'm glad I felt that then, because I wasn't so sick as after the birth then. I mean, I was being sick like 50 times a day, but I had moments where I could be like, grab my laptop and be like, I need to figure out the next steps so that I can save my business. And Paris came and joined me in March, so I was I'd been standing upright for about 2 months by then. I could do a little bit, I couldn't do much. Doing too much, I'd just vomit, have vomiting fits. So she came to help me, and then she just came once a week, and then twice a week. And then by the time Rex arrived, and then I was back in hospital, I was like, I need Paris to be my woman. Right now, I need to marry that lady, and we...
Paris is part of the family.
And we'd been getting on great, and we'd really worked so well together, and we both really felt that we could make something of it. So we like teamed up, and it's been such an amazing experience to know that someone has got my back and I've got her back, and she's experienced some like moments where she can't be around, and she's, you know, she had like a small surgery earlier in the year, and maybe that's too much, maybe delete that bit. There's been moments where she's not been able to be around, and it's just meant that we can like hold each other up and keep going. And it's it's been so amazing and so important to like an important lesson for me, who loves to be obstinate and say I can just juggle everything. I can't, and I really got served that lesson quite hard in a hospital bed. So I really, really love where we've got to with that. Yeah. And it's just now, like, navigating with someone else is really interesting, and it's, we've been in step every step of the way. It's still unfolding, what, like, the path. Yeah. And it's so interesting, and we're constantly analysing and reading what's working and reading what's not, and pivoting. And it's so, I really enjoy that kind of element of having dynamic business,
having somebody like to like bounce off and have ideas, you know. I think, like you say, I'm probably a bit of a, I definitely discovered during lockdown that I'm a introverted extrovert. Like, I charge my batteries by being by myself, but I need the other people to, like, you know, keep that energy going as well. Once, you know, I can't come up with ideas by
other
myself.
People, she means me.
Because, well, we're a team, aren't we? Like, what would the podcast be like with just one of us? It'd be weird, wouldn't it?
There we go.
But, like, I guess at the same time, it's opened up more time for you to do things like the writing that you love in the book.
And I love that. I love collecting information and learning. I love learning so much. And it's been such a learning curve. I think it's really, I love writing and I love sharing. So being able to write these things down and share how I did stuff and how I do stuff and my processes and, like, the things I've learned along the way, and write all the generous information that other people have given, and having it all in one place and organised in one place, has just been so fun. I really love that bit. And I really love that I get to do that. And
Yeah.
The Growers Guides have just come out this year, and that's going to be part of a series, the first two in a series. And
oh, there's going to be more.
Seeds is like, oh yeah, there's going to be more.
Exciting.
So they're called the Growers Guides, and then Floristry, and the Growers Guides, and then Seeds. Yeah, really exciting. And they're really small, sweet little guidebooks, but packed full of information. So the Seeds book I use in the greenhouse, which is, I probably shouldn't admit, but I find it really hard to hold everything in my head now, especially now Rex, my son, keeps me nicely sleep deprived. It's really helpful to have all, like, the plant spacings and, like, the temperatures, the best temperatures, and all those things to hand. And I have, like, a cheat sheet for everybody in, like, the front and the back. And then I have sewing guides for each variety, for 30 different varieties, and then loads of, like, step-by-step how-tos of, like the minuscule things that you need to know, so that you don't just feel like you're being told how to do something by someone who knows what they're doing, and so they're skipping out all the really important things that they take for granted. I'm writing it from a point of, like, I've only been doing this for, like, not even quite a decade yet. I'm still, it's all still fresh in my mind, and I don't take for granted, like, knowing, like, how to fill a seed tray and get it really, like, good, and all the tiny little things that you'd think, like, oh, just sow a seed. No, like, I'll tell you exactly step by step how to do it, and for each different variety. And so I hope it's really helpful for people. And there's a whole bit on troubleshooting, because I got a lot of questions from people being like, what is wrong with my seedling? And I'm like, send me a picture, come on, tell me what's up. Let's try and diagnose. So I've got a whole diagnostic bit in it to try and help.
Because what I loved about it, you say all the things that you think about when you, even like you say, when you're a bit of a seasoned grower, like you've done it for a few years, but definitely when you're starting out, like, things in there, like it might sound stupid, but you put, like, where to grow. And I was like, that's actually quite a good question. You know, we're going in beds, what's going in containers, what's going in, you know, raised beds. I just thought, like, it's like obvious, but not, if you know what I mean. And it was, there's so many questions in there. I just thought, like, I wish I'd had something like this all along.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah, I really hope it's going to be really useful. I hope anyone who wants to give growing a try but it doesn't know where to start, I hope that the book finds that its way to them, and that it gives them a lot of confidence, because it's not a mystical process. There's, like, step by steps to it, and it's really straightforward. And I hope that, and it can bring so much joy. So I hope people...
Well, the pictures in it are beautiful as well. So, you know, it is both functional and beautiful.
Shot by Eva Nemeth, who is incredible.
I actually had a course with her a few weeks ago, and now I've just, like, I've bought a new lens, I've bought a new tripod. Like, she's definitely, like, she's so inspirational, isn't she?
She's so wonderful to work with, and she puts up with my chaotic schedule and way of making the book with such grace and joy, and we laugh so much. She's wonderful.
Okay, I have been dying. I've been barely holding this in. But also, I am head of timekeeping, and it is time. So, I mean, Florette has been a small fee.
I feel like we need a little drum roll story. Here.
I keep dropping.
That was my pathetic attempt at a drum roll on the table.
To be fair, your microphone's really good because I didn't hear it.
Oh, really? Do I need to do like on here? Is that better? Is that just breaking the thing now?
No, still no.
Oh, well, but, my microphone's amazing.
We've heard you maybe have some maybe news that you maybe wanted to share about something exciting that's maybe happening.
UK growers and gardeners, the time has come. Florette originals are available for your gardens. We're sharing them out and it's coming this weekend. The time is now. Get ready. Set your alarms for Sunday at 10 a.m. We'll be putting the inventory up live and they'll be ready to grab. And we are so excited to be part of this time. It's been such a huge process and jumping through so many legal and logistical loops, but they're here and they arrived safely just yesterday. They are looking so pristine and beautiful. And we already got sent some test ones earlier in the spring and the germination on them is incredible. Yep. And so we're hoping to get this out to you as quick as we can and share them with as many growers and gardeners as we can so that we can hopefully have some beautiful Florette zinnias at least, because there's still time to sow them, growing in the UK this summer, which is just so exciting because they are just looking so, the varieties are just better than I could have ever have imagined.
You didn't actually say it this way, but you are the world's first stockist outside of Erin herself to stock the Florette originals, right? You're not just stocking them, you're like the world's first.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
It's madness. You are so exciting.
No pressure. Sorry, no we're not pressure. Helping. Never mind.
It really feels like such a pat on the back of like you have been running your seed shop well enough to entrust you with this huge, huge thing. And I feel really proud and I'm really excited and I just feel really passionate. And I think Erin and the team will probably also know over the years I've gushed a lot about them and to them and that I'm just huge fans of what they do and I think they bring so much beauty to the world. So I feel like maybe they just thought my enthusiasm was good. But I feel like my processes are good and we're pretty efficient with the seed shop now and we have some stuff down with like how to get things out quickly and well execute everything well. So I'm really excited. I feel thrilled that we get to share it.
Okay, so we'll ask some professional questions after this, but first, talk me through the moment when you found out.
Did an email land and then you nearly died, or was it, did you go after it?
Was it an Instagram DM?
Okay, it's probably not as exciting as you think, because it was a really long process. We sent an email to them way back, and we have correspondence with them quite a bit, and have
done. That's a little sly brag there.
Yeah, did you love that?
You're like, we are...
She didn't even flick her hair with it.
We chat.
You know.
We chat. Best friends.
Angela and I have spoken a bit over the years, and she runs a lot of the marketing side and also logistics side. I messaged her saying, look, if you ever... If it's ever going to be a wholesale situation or not, like, not... Maybe take that bit out if we can. Said to Angela, if there was ever a chance that I could get them over to Wanigo.
This is where you were like, whoop, like as if he just sucked out the last few words.
I know, but it's because of a language thing, but it's...
That's right. Take a deep breath.
I'm also just really tired. Okay, so we were chatting to Angela and asked if there was ever any chance that we could help get them over to the UK. Just let us know. And she messaged back, being like, yeah, we could have that conversation. And that was the moment that we really started hyperventilating. But this was way back before Christmas. And we were really hoping that it could happen. And we had a few email exchanges about it and what that could look like. And it was just really complicated. And they wanted to see if they could try different ways of getting it directly to customers, because it's such a big undertaking. And then they sent out loads of test runs across the world, internationally, and it was as complicated as they thought. And then I got a message from Erin saying, I wish that we could have done it with you. And I said, we're up for it if you are. And I didn't hear anything back. And then
That's right.
And then, not that long ago, like a few weeks ago, when they made the decision that they couldn't do it direct to customers, they were said, can we have that conversation to see what it would look like and see if there's any way we can get it to the UK? And we were like, yeah, let's go through it. So we had so many Zoom calls going through every detail, going through every logistical potential thing that could happen, going through every legal requirement and doing a lot of paperwork. And Nikki on their team, who runs the shop, she's amazing. And she did so much work on getting all the paperwork and speaking to as many people so that we knew what we were dealing with. And it's, you know, there's a lot of getting seeds over it. There's phytosanitary certificates and mm-hmm. and loads of like duties and customs that you have to take into account, and it's just a big deal to get things through legally and well and safely. But we figured out that we could definitely give it a try, and we went for it, and they arrived within like 5 days. It was amazing. We weren't expecting them to arrive for a while. We thought the customs clearance would take a lot longer, but it all went so smoothly, and they're here and they've arrived.
And they are looking literally in the room with you right now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Because we have seen the boxes in a blurry background fashion, and we're thrilled about it.
They're so precious. I literally don't let them out of my sight. I'm not letting them out of my sight.
They sleep next to your bed. They come with you for breakfast.
Yeah. They are so precious, and I'm so excited that they're going to be in people's hands so soon. And we're so lucky in the UK to be the other country that gets them. And I'm so excited to, like, we're going to work flat out to get them to you as quickly and efficiently as possible.
Yeah. Okay, so talk to us about details. I've got one first initial nosy question, because I may or may not be trying to buy some for myself. How urgent would you say the purchasing requirement is? Is it like 8 a.m. at the shop?
Oh, Sarah, have you not experienced one of Millie's seed sales yet? Like, you need to get it. Never mind the Floret Originals part of it. Like, just normal seed sales. Stuff is hectic. I think number one is sign up to the newsletter, right?
I don't want to cause panic.
Hey, we're here for the details.
I don't want to cause mass panic.
I think we need to cause mass panic, though. This is serious, people.
Well, if you really want them, this is what you need to do.
Talk to us.
You need to go to my website, which is www.millieproust.com, which is MILLIPROUST. They'll put it in the show notes for you.
We'll put it in the show notes.
But I'm typing it right now. Thank you.
Sign up to the newsletter, and then you'll immediately, automatically get sent an email from me. If you don't, check your spam folder. And then in that email is a password, and that password is going to be on the shop on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So it's going to be password protected in order that not any old person can get them. You have to be really interested and really want them. So you have to be invested. This is the way that I'm like, the people who really want them should get them. So this is my way of like making sure there's like a little firewall for those people so they have a better chance. So then you sign in, peruse ahead of time, because the varieties available are already up. We don't have every single variety. We have every zinnia apart from Alpen Glow. We've got the 3 dahlias, but not Can-Can Girls. And then we have a small selection of Celosia. There's plenty of packets, but I'd say if you really are serious about wanting to get some, go like just set your alarm and get on there at 10 a.m. on sharp and just get them in your basket.
You know, early mornings are good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 a.m. I feel like it's fairly civilised, but then I do have a 2-year-old who...
So we're not too early. We've not started going out for the day. Mm. It's a good time.
Yeah. I just don't want to cause my mass panic, but Jamie Oliver did share it today, and he's got 10.
Jamie Oliver shared it. Shut the front door.
Sorry, let's take that back. Let's take that back a second. You mean UK famous chef?
Pucker chef Jamie Oliver.
Mm, I know. So exciting. He shared
what
it.
What on earth?
I know. Well, he, I don't know if you've seen his latest couple of series where he has this beautiful garden now and he grows a lot of food. And
yeah, I have seen that in the background. Oh, there we go. Exciting.
Wow. So he's a huge fan, and he's,
That has actually rendered me speechless. Jamie Oliver is a huge part of British culture to any of our American listeners.
Like, oh, no, they know him in America. They know him. I'm sure they
literally.
Do.
But he changed our food, the food that we ate as kids at school. Like, he's iconic.
Up to a certain age, I got chicken nuggets in the cafeteria. And then Jamie Oliver came along, no more chicken nuggets.
Turkey Twizzlers, remember those days? No more turkey Twizzlers, those sorry, Bernard Matthews.
Sorry, tangent.
Tangent, so, indeed. But, Jamie, if you're listening to this, can you slide into our vegetables. DMs, please? Yeah. Because we'd super be interested in doing an episode with you too.
We'll have you. We'd love to. Okay, back to the seeds. I've got a sneaky, sneaky question that it might be illegal. You might tell me I'm not allowed to ask you. Do you have a favourite?
Do I have a favourite of the seeds? Yeah, I do. Of course I do. I'm going to ask
you. You're allowed? Which one?
I think so.
Okay. Tell us.
I am so excited to see golden owl.
Oh, ooh. God. Yes, I agree.
Because I love yellow and I think maybe I feel particularly passionate about yellow because so many people say they don't like it. And
I don't.
Special. So I'm excited about golden owl because I think it's going to be a game changer for people who don't like yellow. But also, obviously, as soon as I say that, I'm like, but what about precious metals? I'm also really excited about unicorn mix. Which has really got so many interesting colours, and they ombre down the stem. But I also love, so now I'm getting carried away, I love celosia. So we've grown some of the Texas vintage plume celosia, and that's so beautiful, the colours of that, but these are even more beautiful. And celosia is such a great plant for late season, and it dries unbelievably well, and the colour holds. The thing with celosia is that it requires a bit of warmth, so it does way better undercover, but it's also great, especially if we have a fairly nice summer. It's great outdoors, it just won't get as big, but it's such a interesting crop that I don't think many UK gardens grow, and so I'm so excited to get.
The colours are like not nice here, are they? We've got, you know, my husband asked me earlier,
yeah,
like,
they're not nice here, but actually celosia's not tricky.
He was like, what's the big deal with these seeds? I was like,
so funny.
Do I have to explain? I was like, this is what a normal zinnia looks like. And I was like, this is what the pretty ones look like. I was like, the woman has worked hard for these
colours.
They
are unbelievable.
And yeah, that's why.
Yeah, we're so lucky. And I think actually it's a myth that celosia is tricky. It's really easy to germinate, especially from the floret. How good the germination rates are, really, really easy to germinate. And then it just requires, the tricky thing is that you it requires a fairly long time to mature. So we probably have missed the boat on getting a good crop of celosia this year, but the seed, it's really easy to store and the germination will hold. But it's really straightforward to grow.
So we should buy the celosia now.
And then have it for next year, because we won't have, she's closing the floret originals shop for at least next year. So no one in the world will be able to get for originals.
Oh, so now we're causing even more panic.
Oh gosh.
Oh Lord.
No one panic.
Don't make it.
No one oh. panic. Oh. You're all going to get what you want, I promise. Just also have patience.
I can take over with my tangent, which is, I'm actually kind of sad because your favourites are my favourites.
Oh good, that's nice.
Yeah, I had my eye on unicorn mix because it gives me fruit salad vibes.
You're all into that.
And
fruit
original
salad
listeners
moment,
will
Sarah.
Know that I have been a fruit salad. I have at the moment, excuse me, for the last fucking
true.
Four
actually since the day you planted something, she's been on at me
at
about
the moment.
Throwing the pink and orange together.
Yeah, exactly. At the moment for the last 4 years, literally. Nicole's always like, oh, blush this. Blush that, and I'm like, give me the hurts your eyeballs kind of colour. And I've tried to lie to myself, and I buy all these blush, I have so many packets of seeds that are in blush colours, and then whenever I grow them I'm like, but then when I grow something that kind of burns my retinas, I'm like, oh yeah, that's stuff.
Unicorn mixes for you, I love that.
Yeah,
I love that. Nicole, what have you got your eye on?
Oh, I am definitely gonna invest in some of the zinnia seeds. I'm with you on the golden hour. I think I need Victorian
that
wedding.
That is yellowy.
Well, yeah, I'm one of the yellow haters of this world. I'm going to fess up here, even though I know you said you just love yellow, but I'm not about the retina burning colours. But I feel like if anything was going to give me the opportunity to like yellow, it's golden hour. Those kind of like, I mean, they look like butter, right? And you already know about my love of butter,
it's so
I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, delicious. stunning. I love that.
Delicious flowers.
And that Victorine Wedding is Paris's favourite.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to get some Celosia as well. But like you say, I'm going to keep those for next year. I want Dusty Rose because I've never grown, I don't know what you call them. I know some people call them brain heads, don't they? But what all the, is it called, is it technically a Bombay Celosia?
I grew.
Can you tell I'm actually not sure? But yeah, Bombay Celosia, they generally are.
I grew three whole plants of them in my first year.
Oh yeah, I remember that. You were so excited.
It was my biggest gardening achievement. My first year of gardening, I had unsuccessfully germinated a bunch of quite beginner options, but boy, was I stoked about my three Bombay Celosia in my little greenhouse. That's so and every day exciting. I'd go and look at them and I'd be like, look at you, my little precious babies. And I cut them when they were like this tall, because that's as tall as they got, for reference listeners, about 15 centimetres. I put them in a little cup and I looked at them every day of my life.
That's so nice, because they dry well, so you can have them forever. So nice.
There we go. So I will also be buying some Celosia, but I think I have my eye on like the spun sugar.
Oh, I was gonna say
it feels more like
sugar.
Retinary,
but that rose gold,
it
please.
Feels like kind of bright, like it would contrast.
And vintage rose. I'm gonna come away bankrupt on Sunday, I think. Just take my money now, Millie.
I saw it on your website. Very exciting, very imminent. It's coming up real soon. Feeling ready?
Yes, we are so ready.
So ready.
It's a big thing doing. We're expecting a lot of orders, and so it's going to be team members and a lot of logistics.
I was going to say, please tell me there's more than Paris and Rex packing these seeds.
Mm-hmm.
There will be more than that. We really want to make sure that we get everyone's happy and that everyone gets their seeds as quickly as possible. But we also have the biggest wedding of our season on the 1st of June, and that's quickly followed by two huge flower festivals in separate parts of the country. So we're really under a time limit, so we really need to get these out really quick. But also we want to make sure that we do it really well so that everyone gets the right orders and everyone's really happy with the quality of our packing and all those things. So we've got big team.
But hey, if you said you were less than 2 hours away from London,
Sarah,
if you
please,
want a very enthusiastic volunteer, sign me up.
If you're up for it, you can just do it.
I would be so good at
that. Call
in
sick and come and help. I would
you
love
could call
that.
Me head of, I don't even know, but I would like a title, please.
Okay, I will absolutely think of a title. I mean, if you're serious, I'm literally looking at you like, please come, help. We need all the help we can get.
I'll message you after. We'll figure it out.
I'm so glad that we got to chat about this, and I'm so grateful that we got to, that you, I don't know if your listeners will find this interesting, but this happened really quick. This scheduling of this chat so that we could talk about this amazing sale and get as many people knowing about it as possible so that everyone had a chance to get the seeds that they want.
It did, because I think we thought we had a couple of weeks still to do it, but then obviously, like you said, with your customs situation, it went through a lot quicker, and we were like, oh, what about Wednesday? And then, oh, what about getting the episode on Friday? So when our editor is listening to this, big thanks, Simon, for getting that over the line for us to get this out on Friday.
Yeah, that's all quiet applause for Simon.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, because this is a really big thing, so we're really excited to have had you on the show, not just to like chat to you, but to also talk about the amazing, exciting, I can't think of enough like superlatives to use to say how, you know, amazing this seed sale is going to be for not just you and your business, because that's massive, but also, you know, for the people of the UK.
It feels really special, and it feels so special knowing how much work's gone into breeding these new varieties for us, and it feels so special to be able to get them into as many hands as possible and being part of that and like being connected to that amazing farm that feels so full circle in so many ways. And yeah, the connection between farmers and growers across the world is so sacred and beautiful, and I'm just feeling like so grateful, and I'm excited for everybody. Really,
I love that. Seeds are hope, and some of the bestest, most fun hope is coming your way,
it's
people of the
UK. And what's even better is like we've got a lot of American listeners, and we often have American guests on as well, and we're always like super jelly of the things that they can get over in America that we can't get here. So, you know, for months we've been eyeing up these seeds and, you know, enviously seeing, you know, Erin walk up and down those polytunnels thinking, oh, if only we could have, you know, precious metals. And now you've made it happen for us, Millie. You've made it happen.
It's so exciting. Well, I feel like that there was a lot of people that made it happen. The whole of the Florette team, Nikki and Angela, and I'm sure many other people behind the scenes. And then, yeah, Paris and I, we just feel really, really lucky to like be able to facilitate it, honestly.
Well, a big thank you to them all as well, from my garden especially. But that is, it's amazing. But, you know, thank you so much for coming on today and chatting with us. And I know we've kind of had like a bit of a random chat about a bit of everything. But if the listeners want to find out a little bit more about you and your growing and all of that good stuff, you obviously very kindly spelled out the name of the website. So they can hit you up there, but you're on the
and everyone is already on your newsletter, presumably.
Yeah, hopefully everyone signed up to that.
It's been such a pleasure chatting. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, us too. And I'm looking forward to the our side episode that we're just going to record shortly to find out what your favourite flowers are. Not Florette originals this time. We're going to go deeper than that. But yeah, it's been amazing chatting to you. So thank you very much. Oh, we haven't asked our final question, Sarah. We very much lapsed there.
Oh, shocker.
Sarah, we've never forgotten your question.
I think we're just having too much fun. Actually, would you like to become the third host of Let's Grow Girls? Would you like the final spot?
Do you not think she's got enough on her plate without that as well?
It is true. Actually, yeah, the horror on your face there. You were like,
I was like, I'm so tired. Are you asking? No.
Maybe in like, in the winter, maybe when you've got nothing on.
Yeah, I'm hoping to take some things off my plate next year. So, you know, just let me know.
We'll hit you up. But so the final question that we've never forgotten to ask. So if you had one piece of advice, either growing focused or just general in terms of like advice more widely in terms of like life advice, if you had one piece of advice for the growers for the next year, what would it be?
Buy my seeds. I feel like that's it, sorry.
It's a really hard question. One piece of advice I would give growers in the UK this season is to grow the things that bring you joy. Because we all need a bit of joy in this endlessly challenging world, and growing is a joy, and seeing the things that you've grown from seed, it is just so empowering and so beautiful. Also, can I get a second piece? I know I'm not allowed, but save your own seeds. It's so fun.
We love that.
And the thing I think I learned from you today is it's kind of Frozen-esque for any Disney fans, but it's kind of do the next right thing. It seems like you really grasp each next right thing that was in front of you, and that always seemed to be the right thing for you, and I think that's a great lesson.
Then. I love hearing that back. It makes me feel like I've been doing the right thing. But definitely, yeah, it definitely has been, it's constantly moving toward the thing that makes the most sense and brings the most joy.
Yeah, what feels right.
Well, I don't know how we can top that, but if you're a Patreon, make sure you head over to the side episode now, where we're going to grill Millie on her favourite flowers and hope she can remember them after her, sadly, very sleepless night. Thanks, little Rex.
I can't wait for my grilling.
Best part of the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
It's outro time.
Thank you so much for listening and for your support. We are loving this season so far.
And we hope you are too. If you loved the episode as much as we love doing it, then we would be so grateful if you left us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You can also subscribe, and you can find us on Instagram for more of our adventures at Let's Grow Girls Podcast.
We're really grateful having you here listening to all of our interviews with our amazing guests, and we hope that you carry on enjoying the rest of the season.
See you next week.
Bye. You sounded really far away when you said that. You sat back.
Yeah, because I didn't want to shout at our people, you know.